ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Economics.
And time to look at business and finance news this week with the ABC's Chief Business Correspondent, Ian Verinder. Ian, good evening. Welcome back.
Evening, Phil. Good to be here.
Bitcoin. I normally refrain from talking about it too much, but it's collapsing.
It is, yeah. It's what's happening? Been quite dramatic, really. Look, it hit a record price of about $126,000 a coin.
People were telling us it was going to 200.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. It might do, but it might be 200 rather than 200,000 because that's the way it's heading at the moment. Look, it's hard to kind of write it off because there's all sense of logic has abandoned Bitcoin. Yeah. And, you know, but since that it hit that price in early October, it has absolutely plummeted. It's dropped about 33% since then. It was down to 85,000.
It's done this in the past, last though, night. Hasn't it?
It has.
Why is it different this time?
Well, I guess because what is going to drive it into the future? Now, it was born in the aftermath of the global financial crisis, mm-hmm. when you had all of this distrust about fiat currencies, traditional currencies. This was going to be the new system of money that would overtake the entire global financial system. Mm. You know, all these corrupt governments and central banks manipulating everything. This was going to be the currency of the people, the currency of the future. And so there was a lot of people who believed that and got into it. And I guess if you did and you paid 10 cents or whatever it was for Bitcoin, and it's now even at its devalued state at $85,000, you'd be very rich. But then I think it had another big fillip during the pandemic. You know, there was all of that paranoia about all sorts of different things about the drugs that you were being used to fight the pandemic, and everything else, and the paranoia that just grabbed hold of everyone through the pandemic during lockdown. It had another big run then, and then since Donald Trump has come into power, it's had another big run because of his promise to deregulate the crypto world and his embrace of the crypto world. And of course, he's got his own currency, and so has his wife, Melania.
He's hopelessly compromised on this because he's in it himself.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of compromise when you mention the words Donald and Trump together. compromise
what's
comes.
What's this genius act that he's passed?
Well, the genius act was part of his great deregulation regulation light of the crypto world. Mm-hmm. He got rid of the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission and a whole lot of other regulators and replaced them with people who were pro-Bitcoin, pro-cryptocurrency. And so all of the, I guess, all the crackdown on dodgy operators within the crypto world has stopped. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because of that, everybody really embraced it. And you'd have to say, too, that the ordinary financial world, mainstream world of finance, did embrace Bitcoin as well. And you saw we've now got, you can buy and sell Bitcoin on the stock exchange, through exchange traded funds. So there's been a level of acceptance from the traditional world of finance, and that has given some credence to the whole movement. But when you think about what Bitcoin was supposed to do, it was supposed to be the world's new monetary system, the new system of exchange. Well, nobody buys and sells anything with Bitcoin anymore because it's pretty inefficient to do so. It's expensive. It's slow to do it. The value of it keeps changing. So if I'm going to sell you my car and you're going to pay me in Bitcoin, is Bitcoin going to be worth $120,000 or $80,000? I don't know. You don't know. Mm. And that volatility as well has destroyed its reputation or its ability to be a store of wealth because it's just far too volatile. And then, as it turns out, the one final bit of utility that it had, which was really facilitating covert money laundering operations and, an incredible way for drug dealers and arms dealers to skirt the global financial system, that's now being undermined by the rise of what's known as stable coins, another form of crypto, but they operate very differently to Bitcoin.
So tell me about stable coins, in particular a thing called Tether.
Tether is the biggest stable coin. Mm. Our stable coins, as the name suggests, are tied to the value of the US dollar. Their value doesn't change. So one Tether token is worth $1.
So what's the point? And why don't you just buy a US dollar?
Well, the reason behind setting it up was to make it easier for people to get into trading in crypto. So you took your money and you put it into this platform called Tether, and you would always get whatever you put in back.
In US dollars?
Yeah, in US dollars. If you didn't. And the idea was you had your money on this platform with Tether tokens, and you could then trade Bitcoin or any of the other cryptocurrencies in the crypto sphere much easier than if you were doing it from an outside bank and into a platform and then into those cryptocurrencies. What's happened in the meantime, though, is that because Bitcoin is a cumbersome kind of mechanism to buy and sell things through and quite expensive, the Tether has taken over as the main source of or the main avenue for money laundering, because you don't have to use the global financial system. You can just put all your money into Tether and shift it around the world and just keep it there.
So people buy and sell Tether.
Yeah, but you don't. Yeah, well, you just get your money back, though. Yeah. You see, so there's no. You don't actually have to take your money out of Bitcoin and then put it into, you know, the Commonwealth Bank, for instance. Mm. You just use your Tether tokens and convert them into US dollars. So it's now become pretty apparent that. Now, The Economist magazine did a huge study on this a couple of months back, and really it all came unraveled by a bust that was in the UK where they picked up a mid-level drug dealer and found all, you know, the usual, lots of cash, lots of drugs. And then they found these pathways into the Russian mafia and a whole lot of, you know, corrupt dealing there. It's also linked to Chinese billionaires trying to, you know, basically get their cash out of China, South American cocaine dealers. And it's a big round robin where, you know, the money from one side of the world shifts to another side of the world, and it all, you know, flows through this channel. And I think there's a group called Chainalysis who studied in this, and they believe that about $40 billion a year worth of illicit transactions go through Tether. Now, Tether is, believe it or not, one of the things that US Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent sees as the great savior of the US government bond market, because Tether and these stable coins need to have their value, you know, tied to the US dollar. They need to buy US government bonds. And so because they've grown so big, they've bought so many US government bonds that they are now one of the world's biggest owners of US government bonds. And so the US Treasury Secretary is hoping that as China and maybe even Japan drop out of buying US government bonds, you'll have stable coins like Tether picking up the slack there. Tether is already the 17th biggest owner of US government bonds, bigger than South Korea. And so it is rapidly gaining ascension there. But it's the one, it's undermining the last useful thing that Bitcoin actually had going for it. So Bitcoin has essentially become something like a poker machine. You know, you can put your money in there, but you don't know whether you're going to get it out.
It's long been just a belief system, hasn't it? I mean, people only invest in it because they think it's going to go up. And if... I mean, a lot of people borrow money to invest in it too.
Well, that's one of the things that really spiked the big sell-off back in October, on October 10, after Trump announced that he would slap 100% tariffs on China. Now, he reversed that decision a couple of days later, but Bitcoin just fell out of bed and kept on falling. And what happened was there was an automated trading platform, which was also a way to borrow money to trade in that, in Bitcoin. And as it's a margin lending business, and as the margins were called and people couldn't pay up, the selling just cascaded. And so you had the Bitcoin really, really dropping. A lot of very wealthy people were caught up in it. Andrew Tate was one of them. He lost about $700,000 in trading there. And since then, there's an even bigger investor. It's a company called Strategy, which owns about 3% of the world's Bitcoin. It's run by a guy called Michael Saylor. And his $100 billion US dollars worth of Bitcoin And his motto for years was one of your golden rules, never sell Bitcoin. Mm. He's looking at having to sell huge amounts of it because he has a company that pays dividends and he's been paying those dividends out of, well, who knows where the money's coming from. Mm. But he's to pay the dividends, he's going to have to sell an awful lot of Bitcoin. The share price of Strategy has fallen from about $450 down to 160 in the last little while. And it is under enormous pressure. And it's now, there are now a lot of big investors around the world who are looking at going, well, should we really be in this game or not? You know, I mean, it's just become a vehicle for betting, really.
Yeah, I mean, some say the same about gold, but I don't know. Gold's weird, isn't it? People have always wanted it.
Gold has a history, though, you know?
Yeah.
Gold's been...
But gold has no useful purpose either.
Well, it does.
Not really.
Look, it is a physical metal.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But I mean... And it has a unique... molecular structure, right? So there's a reason why gold doesn't rust.
It's a thing,
yeah. Mm. And it's people have lusted after it for thousands of years. You know, women love to wear it. A lot of men like to wear it as well. So it's something that fascinates the human mind, and it has done for many thousands of years. And it exists. I mean, you can actually go and see it and buy it. You know, and for that reason, it has become the store of wealth. And if you look at the way it's performed just in the past few months. Or in the past 2 years, really, okay, the price has doubled, but it's doubled as the world has become less secure and as the political, geopolitical situation has become more risky. And that is what a store of wealth is supposed to do. When things start looking shaky, the money flows there. And that's exactly what's been happening to gold. Now, the correlation between Bitcoin and gold has completely broken down now. Mm-hmm. There was a time when, you know, the crypto people were saying, oh, this is the new, this is the digital gold. This is what's going to take over from gold. Well, and it was sort of tracking, you know, a little bit. Now that correlation has totally broken down.
Mm. Interesting. All right, Ian, always good to talk. Thanks.
Thanks, Phil.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.